Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
afternoon.
Show number 1368. Welcome. As you get ready to sit down and get down with the brethren and the rest of the cast characters who help create our show. Welcome to another edition of Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio on the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and sometimes how, right now. I should say who, what, when, where, why, and sometimes how, right now, at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be, Radio Reggie down in Richmond, Virginia. D'Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic Cheryl Jones in Philadelphia. Ricky Hampton Sr. in Detroit. Mike Robeson in Oakland, California, co-hosts of the African-American Athlete Show. Great listen. Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, please. Lend them your ears and check out their great website, theAfricanAmericanAthlete.com. Our brother, Pat Freeman, Mighty Oba, off the heels of his great book, Guard the Interview, book one, doing his thing in Western New York, handling business in Rochester and Buffalo. So we dote on him and the activities of the Rochester Chargers, soon to be breaking ground as the NFL will be in effect. And, of course, the rest of the group who chime in when they can. With me right now, Mistress of Mount Airy, Sonic Cheryl Jones. Cheryl, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm under the hair dryer, but I can hear you.
There you go. Just getting them brains redone. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm fine. How are you?
Hanging in there. And, of course, the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray. What up, G?
Hey, Gary. How are you doing, Cheryl? That's good, Gary. Michael, yes, sir. Michael, is your man, is your man, Bernie? Yes. Yes, he is. Six deaths. Within 24 hours.
Yeah, six. Mm-hmm.
Six. Is there wrong with, is there wrong with the picture?
No, there's nothing wrong with the picture. White supremacy always responds. You got to remember, they're wired to not lose. So in this, in these actions, it's a response. It's like, yeah, fuck you. And somebody spray painted on the wall.
Yeah, they did.
Niggas still
they
don't matter.
They spray painted on his mural.
They sure
yeah.
did. So we're not surprised. What we do know, or should know, is that there was going to be a response. And like you said, Gary, there have been six shootings since. And don't give me this shit about training, because black officers had to go through the same training as the white ones.
Training,
Or am I missing something here?
You ain't missing nothing. This.
Mm-hmm.
We're always a threat, even though we have our hands up. We don't have any weapons. If we're licensed to carry, it's a problem, because we're not supposed to be able to license to carry.
That's right. These are real people.
The nastiness, the other nastiness of this whole situation is nasty. You have Alabama governor signing a transgender sports ban bill. You have Caitlyn Jenner running for governor. I mean, this is
it's not, listen, we have to expect this. we have to expect that the filter was long gone after that other asshole got in. They can say and do what they want. And now this shit, we would have thought, like, there's no fucking way they would do that. They are doing it. And it's because that filter is gone. They don't give a fuck.
Nope.
Cheryl, I was curious. I was curious as to how you bonded to Dante Wright, the other young boy in Minnesota who was murdered. I say it murdered by that cop who talked a lot of bullshit about Taser, when she knew damn well she was pulling out her Roscoe, saw that black face on the gun and shot that kid. You know,
she next.
What do parents?
She next. She's next. She's next because my brother has been in service. He said there's a big difference in the weight of a Glock and a Taser. She knew what she was doing, and she resigned because she thought she was going to get away with it. And they were like, oh, no, bitch, we charging you. Because that was murder.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And talking about she got 17 years. So if she got 17 years of service, she really should have known the difference between the weight of a Glock and a Taser.
And the color.
And they're
and
on
the
opposite
color.
Sides.
Exactly. Listen, I get tired of the bullshit. And nobody will say it, but that was an execution. And she did that for the express purpose of showing others how to do exactly what she did. Oh, yeah, I'm looking taser, and I see the black barrel of that gun. Well, you know damn well the taser's gold or orange or neon or whatever
the
fuck it is
color.
To distinguish it.
Color.
To
mm-hmm.
definitely distinguish it from a gun. And I know they've kind of buried it because of all the other shootings that are going on, but this is murder. They try to say that she did manslaughter so she can get maybe 3 or 4 years in jail if they convict her is straight bullshit. And it's straight off the heels of this guy being convicted only because, and we said this way back when, that young girl videotaped everything, and she got all of it. She got the
and
smirk
the
on that
about,
cocksucker's
the thing
face.
About it. The thing about it is the so-called threatening group of people, if you look at them, a bunch of senior citizens, a couple of white folks, and kids, what threatening? There were four officers with guns. There was cops in a car across the street. What threatening?
Exactly.
He knew exactly what
exactly.
he was doing. And for him to turn and look at the camera like, what y'all going to do? Yeah, you going to be somebody bitch in jail, okay?
Yep.
That's what you're going to
do.
They're going to run him through the system. Even if he go with the white supremacists, they're going to run his behind anyway, because that's what they do.
What you're doing is don't ever interfere with the police officer when they're doing it, okay? So these five people were looking at what was going on, and their mind is that we can't interfere. But morally, we had to interfere. So they were fine.
Oh, no question. As a matter of fact, those people there should be collectively commended for how they handled that.
Exactly.
The brother that was there who was putting them in check, saying you're full of shit and all the other stuff, you know, he said it in conversational tone, but he made it clear, you know you were doing dirt. And as they're doing all of that, they're distracting this cocksucker and the other cocksuckers who are around them so that young lady could film everything. Now, that may not have been the intention, but that was the effect and that was the result. And because of it, that cocksucker goes to jail. Now, they will try on appeal to change the result. That appeal will run anywhere from 3 months to a year. If they take it to the state Supreme Court, that's likely the route that'll go. But his ass is in. Whenever they decide to, I think it's June 13th or 16th or whatever, to sentence his ass, it's a wrap. There ain't no fucking way this motherfucker's going to extricate himself out of it. And to go back to
and
where I started.
Even the judge was kind of happy. He was like, can he sell them, Dale? He was like, oh, no, take him and touch me, Dale. Dale has been involved. Take his ass now.
But also, ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Joban was a sacrificial lamb. Let me explain what I mean by this.
And he had a horrible record.
They had not found him guilty. All our brothers, all over the country, they look on the jail because we want to burn our city down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got one coming up in Philly, and he shot the boy in the back, and they got it all on film. He had another one going to jail.
They don't seem to have a problem. They don't seem to have a problem when it's the brothers. Having said that, and we got Tony McClain in the mix. T-Mac, can you hear us?
Yep. You hear me, guys, okay?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Good afternoon. Now, I want to sidetrack from this for a little bit because I want to tell you about a young man who was exceptional at his craft, and he just couldn't handle the racism that was being tossed at him. And you would say, well, you know, yeah, a lot of brothers and sisters put up with this. But this is a brother who was a soccer player. His name is Mario Balotelli Bawa. He was originally born in Ghana, was adopted, and he started his professional football career playing at Barcelona after a trial. In 2007, he joined Inter Milan, one of the biggest clubs in Europe, and had problems with the manager. He spent his career from the time he was 15 on, they knew this kid was an amazing talent. But Balotelli has had more than his share of racism. And we've talked in the past, guys, about how the brothers playing over in Europe are catching hell because of the fascist nonsense in some of the workplaces they have, whether it be in Serie A or the La Liga or other places, that blackness is reviled instead of revered. And because of it, it takes a toll. Now, this young man started playing at age 15. He's 29 now. And he's like, fuck all of you. I'm up to here with your shit. I need to get the fuck out of here. And now, still a young man at 29 years old, Balotelli, wants to move to Africa and try to create something for himself there. This was a young man who really was one of the very, very best when he was on his game, but because he had to put up with the level of shit that he did, he never got that opportunity to carry his game further. He looked at racism dead in the eye, and it did damage to him internally. That sounds like a lot of other brothers and sisters who have gone through shit regardless of where they were. So the question here is, if this young man knows he's comfortable in Africa and they need to move to Africa so we can have peace, what does that say about all the brothers and sisters who have to put up with shit here and they don't have recourse as a place to go to?
Well, he'll have a better opportunity because soccer is a much bigger sport worldwide. If he's really intent on trying to do this, he could possibly put it together his own La Liga or Premier League in Africa. We all know the brothers can play over there. I know cricket is big over there as well, but you know soccer is big internationally. I guess it all depends on his commitment and who's going to be willing to follow and help him along the way. I don't doubt that it can be done. You know, the sport in and of itself, because of its worldwide popularity, it can be done. It's just a matter of it's like with any new sports or business venture, how much support and how much commitment. He definitely sounds like, you know, especially off the heels of the quarter or like the somewhat failed attempt of those soccer players that tried to put together their own league. It depends. You know,
exactly.
It's done. It can definitely be done. And now there's going to be people along the way that are going to try to sabotage it, and they're going to try to scandalize his name. But mm-hmm. I think because of the way he wants to try to do it, I think it'll be
mm-hmm.
It's, again, it's just a matter of the commitment and who's, you know, basically we're at the who's with me stage right now, I guess.
Exactly. Now, Balotelli has played a bit. He's moved around a bit, but he's made some cash, and we got Radio Reggie in the mix. He made this statement, and I'm glad, Tony, that you put this in the mix. Balotelli is saying, I quote, I challenge you all African footballers to put money together with me to leave the racist Europe and build stadiums in Africa and develop our youth. We have money. We can build at least 5 world-class stadiums in each country and sign a petition that no player will be exported to Europe ever again. Here in Africa, they will play under love of their sisters and brothers with no one singing racist chants on the stands against them. We are more talented. We can make our Champions League quality and our league's quality. We have great talent that is never appreciated abroad. I think that's a mouthful, guys. We got Radio Reggie in the mix. Reggie, can you hear us?
Yeah, that's not me. I don't know where that noise come from. That's not on my end.
Mm-hmm.
That's on my end, Reggie. I'm getting my hair done.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, my beautiful. Where have you been? Oh, God. My heart is heavy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Beautiful. Where my beautiful queen, that reminds me of Maxine Waters. God bless you, beautiful. What's going on, darling?
Nothing, just trying to get through the vaccination. The vaccination made me very sick, so I was out of commission for a minute.
No, but I got to ask the question. But my permission just to have 2 minutes to ask the question.
The floor is granted 2 minutes to the distinguished gentleman from
Virginia. I'm not even following protocol now. What the ham sounds wrong with the Correction Black Cross is not bad enough, Maxine Waters, including that sire's James Clyburn. That is bullshit.
I have no
idea.
I don't know.
I mean, that. Oh, God, I was so pissed off.
I don't know. Because what she said was not racist. But, you know, they got to make an example of what she said because, you know, the Republicans say whatever the hell they want out of their mouth and it's okay. You know. What it is, the problem is they've got the power and they need to stop being nice and be dirty like them. I'm sorry. It is what it is.
That's right.
Thank you.
You're right.
It is what it
Thank
is.
You.
You're right.
You know,
they didn't care.
They
didn't care what Trump did. We don't care what they do. Let's keep it moving. And if we can get Washington as a state, there you go. We don't need that butthole that's a Democrat that's always giving them all the problems. They don't need his vote.
Yeah, What took so long with that? That should have been something done years ago.
How about that? No quitting. No kidding. And in that spirit.
Predominant neglect, that's why. We're supposed to pay taxes, but we shouldn't have a say. Just like you're trying to roll back us from voting, can't have water and food and all this. They got the wrong. Mm-hmm. They messing with the wrong one in the Georgia. They messing with the wrong one because she ain't
happy.
I mean,
where the Stacey Adams and all these. Every time I look around, Cheryl, I got 30 seconds left.
You mean Abrams?
My thing is the black women once again are the ones toting the power, toting the. They're not only going after these crackers, that's what they're not for these barrel crackers, but it's even on the Democrat side of that piece of shit down in West Virginia. And I'm just sick and tired. And Joe Biden, I didn't get an epiphany, these Republicans are going to come around. Are you, Cheryl, you my queen.
He is a diplomat. He's trying, but he will see. It's coming. They haven't picked him up yet. It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah. I yield my time back to Florida. Sure, how you doing, darling? I miss you, babe.
I'm sorry.
Where you been?
I feel I feel it's my professional and my judicial
duty to let Reggie know
that stalking is still illegal in the states of both Virginia.
I know. I'm telling you. Don't let me have to get Perry on your ass. Yes.
I'm sorry, Cheryl. Please forgive me, Perry. I'm sorry. I miss you, darling. I feel like Con and Maine.
I miss you guys,
team. Hey, Cheryl, I feel like Con and Maine are taking an interview a week before the championship game leading his team.
Well, interviews notwithstanding, I need to come back to this. Now, we also had some football issues with one ex-quarterback and one ex-asshole named Brett Favre.
You
had the
nerve.
Mike,
he's not an ex-asshole. He's earned that title. I think he's still going to class.
That's true. I stand corrected.
Mm-hmm.
Had the nerve to say, well, he didn't mean to kill him. He didn't mean to sit on him for 9 minutes and choke the shit out of his ass. And has the nerve to say in the same breath, oh, there shouldn't be politics in sports. I mean, what kind of Bama-ass, stupid, redneck, horse shit is that?
Hey, Mike, nobody knew he had a podcast until now. Didn't nobody know he was actually even doing anything.
But this is at the heart of this. And Steve Smith, God bless him, I love this brother. He's always been a hard rock, no-nonsense kind of cat. And he basically said to Brett, what the fuck are you talking about? And that's really what Val Demings was saying to Jim Jordan. What the fuck are you talking about?
Okay.
That she had
Danny
to be polite about it.
And she was
comparably restrained. But that's the whole point. Nobody will just say the fuck that needs to be said. What the fuck are you talking about? Shut the fuck up, you racist piece of shit. You know?
Michael.
I know Congress won't get to that, but that's where it should have been. Go ahead, Gene.
Ever since 2012, white conservatives have said, okay, we can say anything we want, whatever we want. Okay, if that's the case, guess what? I can say whatever I want.
Yeah.
And that's the problem here. They don't want to hear that.
No, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it, Gary, because they know this is their fears manifesting themselves live and living colors, Brother Patrick says. Because they know what we know.
Yes.
No, seriously, they know what we know. The world's getting darker. There'll be a lot more Cheryls and a lot more Reggies and a lot more Tonys and a lot more Garys over the next 10 years. And they realize they can't match them. They can't match them. The numbers, the sheer numbers will dictate politics to come. And that's why this isn't just holes in the dike. This is the whole shit about the burst and go through, and they have to find a way.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, can I throw something at you, Mike, real quick? You know when, and I'm sure you remember this, back in the day when Ice-T first hit the scene with his lyrics as far as rap music, and what did he tell the Europeans? We're going to infiltrate you. I don't know if y'all remember him saying that. We're going to use your kids to infiltrate the music. And we're going to change their mind, their culture. Well, guess what?
Their kids have
come through.
Yep. Well, that's why they did the actions they did when they tried to punish NWA for saying fuck the police and all that stupid shit. All these things were just psych games. The bottom line is anybody that knows, and I'm talking strictly science here, they know who the real majority is. They know
how
all these things spread out.
How
many times have I played that clip from Executive Action where they tell you straight up, what's up? They've been planning this. This has nothing to do with pandemics or endemics or viruses. This is all that is methodology. This has been planned since we all were kids in roughly the 1950s, all of us. Wherever we were, wherever our parents were, however we fought what we had to maintain our humanity, this was going on under the scenes. There's always been game run. You know, and of course the mainstream media ain't going to tell you shit about it because they're in cahoots with all of this.
Did anybody take those sugar cubes with medicine in it back in the day? Did anybody take that?
I did. That was the saving vaccine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they got you hooked. They said, gonna put in something sweet to put it in your system so you won't spit it out, so you won't have any side effects. Johnson, same way.
Remember, I'm always reminded of when Chris Rock said that, you know, Popeye's, you know, that it's got crack in it. That's why they tried to put you they tried to put on. I know he was being funny, but again, that's the thing.
Didn't Coca-Cola have coke in it back in the day? Didn't Coca-Cola have some cocaine in it?
Hey, put it this way.
Coca-Cola had cocaine in it. As a matter of fact, they replaced the cocaine with caffeine, and there was one part where they were advertising that coke has the taste that you never get tired of. Remember that? That's because of that caffeine in there.
I remember old neighbors of mine fixing their cars with friggin' coke.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Shit.
You know,
have you seen what Coca-Cola can do to a piece of metal?
Stuff's going to leave a stain at the very least. But,
people would want us to believe that these are some far-fetched theories and stuff like that, and you're just pulling shit out of your ass and all that. But make no bones about it. Somebody's been counting. When the Kid Cyrus from the Warriors movie said, the future's ours if you can count, this is part of what he was talking about. Now, his inference at that time was gangrene. He's thinking worldwide in terms of numbers. They know. They wouldn't have gone out of the way to make these viruses like AIDS and Ebola and all this shit if they weren't trying to be heard. And as far as this pandemic is concerned, y'all know. But like my man Robin Harris said, we don't die, we multiply. And whatever it is they are trying to do, it's not going to be as effective on the brothers and sisters as exactly. It ain't working. That's right. Yes.
Especially on a worldwide level.
Of course. Of course. Can you imagine what Cheryl's body, well, I can imagine a lot about Cheryl's body, God bless, but I mean, if you imagine Cheryl's body.
Hey, I'm the one that's supposed to be. Hold up.
From the simple,
hold everything
well, think about
now.
It.
I'm the one that's supposed to
think
be
about
there.
It. From the standpoint, from the standpoint of science alone, they've been trying to do damage to people like Cheryl for the longest time. I can't tell you how many times I saw in Ebony magazine and Jet women who had forced sterilizations, crazy shit that was done to them by somebody who was supposed to be a doctor because they couldn't stand the fact
to the African,
that this
because they couldn't stand the fact that
this woman was healthy and able to reproduce and had factors within her and her genome that made her sturdy and built to last in spite of the abnormal amount of stress she and others like her were going to receive on a daily basis given the time frame in which she was in.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, what about the doctor that had COVID-19 and she recorded on Facebook Live how she had been misdiagnosed? She was a doctor. Look how they treated her. They're a dying day.
And Mike, to even get that further, what was the woman, Henrietta, I forget her last
name. Henrietta Lacks.
Let's be real. Do you think she's the only black woman that they've done that to?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's genetic factor.
It's like the shootings. These are the ones that we know of. Think of the ones that weren't done,
that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And this is what the fuck scares them, because they know they can't find every one of them. And they know that that next filial generation of black and brown folks that's coming out will do what Darwin's finches did, and they will adapt to whatever maladies, real or manufactured, come about. So from a scientific standpoint, you're talking about what they would call in genetics hybrid vigor. The next generation coming out will have things built in them that will be designed to withstand certain things environmentally that happen to them. That was the whole key behind Darwin's finches. Some islands, there were certain things that did shit to the birds and other things that did shit to the birds. So this loose genetics 101 lesson is to simply indicate that the strong survive. Black people will survive. Brown people will survive. Yellow people will survive. Red, the indigenous that are here, given them what they've been given what they had to go through, they'll survive. See, it's only at the end of the genetic scale. Blue hair, blonde eye, or blonde hair, blue eyes. At the end of every Punnett square, it adds up to someone white or bereft of melanin. That ain't got nothing to do with saying I hate white people or fuck whitey and all that old stupid shit. That's science.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about eugenics where they're trying to depend their superior. This is about genetics where the script is flipped.
Well, see, and again, we're not supposed to be aware of this. You know, we're supposed to be sitting around, you know, worried about the next episode of Power or what have you.
Exactly.
Or, you know, mm-hmm. and everything. All these other distractions. You know, and look, I get it. I mean, I know we have to have entertainment and everything like that. And there is cause and whatever for that. But we also have to keep, especially now, we have to be aware, because while everybody is, you know, quote unquote, celebrating from Wednesday, we have to realize mm-hmm. that the work still needs, there's still a lot of work to be done. Even in that same state, you know, we got Miss Taser
yep.
/ Gun that needs to
yep.
be punished as well. And, you know, Cheryl mentioned Philly. There's place, you know, there's, you know, it's not
North
like
Carolina just had something happen. Mm-hmm.
It's not like this stuff stopped Wednesday. Yeah, we got one,
mm-hmm.
but. It's not over. It's a guy. You know, I know I sound like a broken record when I say it, but it needs to be said. We have to take the attitude of after Obama won the first time. Now the work really starts. We cannot sit back and start doing the Dougie, thinking that, you know, things are,
you
know, that mm-hmm. that the work is done. The work, it has to be even harder now, because it's obvious. It's obvious they're not going to stop trying to kill us. I mean,
help me understand some things. When that young lady got shot 4 times, did y'all see the video of the parents? One of the parents was kicking the other kid, and I'm standing around saying, you got all these damn adults around here. Why didn't somebody, unless it was not adults, but thugs, watching these two young girls fight. See, that's another problem I hate to say.
Well, see,
I'm not a sponge for the cops did.
I know exactly what you're
saying.
But see, we are not privy to all of what happened. But here's the bottom line. It goes back to Eric Garner with the cigarettes. It goes back to Mr. Floyd with the fake 20. It goes back
mm-hmm.
to my man Stewart in the store. These were not acts where you should be executed. That's the bottom line. If every person that got into a quote-unquote knife fight was killed, there wouldn't be many of us left.
Mm-hmm.
That's the motive here.
Broke the girls off. That's overkill.
Look, let's put it this way. There's ways to squelch all this stuff. And again, killing is supposed to be the last resort. It's not the
right.
But they've made it the first
right.
verses, though.
They've made it the first
you,
resort.
Here's my question. If we come up with the population again, we know that white folks are treated 10 times different. You got a white boy with a hammer beating the shit out of one cop in the car, and he walks up the street. He got a piece of trash that went down South Carolina to a church and execute his back so he gets a fucking hamburger. You know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying the media needs social media, in my opinion, need to start showing the comparison, how Europeans start shaming their ass.
Sure. Well, see, here's the other side of the Floyd verdict. Because, see, now you are going to have these white folks that are going to, for lack of a better word, show their ass in public. And nothing will happen to them. They won't even, you know, they make it pride to go with their hamburger when they get
exactly.
But therein lies the difference. You know, Dylan
Jared showed their ass
Dylan
January 6th, the Capitol.
Look,
showed their ass that day.
Dylan Roots was allowed to live. Eric Garner was not allowed to live. George Floyd was not allowed to live. Sandra Bland was not allowed to live. Rihanna, and so on. That's the thing that you need to understand. That's the fundamental difference. They are allowed to live.
Yep.
If it's on the edges, that may have been an office.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
How the hell is he walking around free? What the hell is New York doing? I'm been here for 4 damn years. We've been in the cage. As soon as he gets out, you know, he's on the damn golf course. The IRS, hell, I owe them money. 6 months. They knocked at my door and sent me letters left and right. What the hell is going on? It's like both sides of the aisle is comforting this guy. I don't understand it. And then those pieces of shit, January 6th, they talking about, we can't bring too many in the jail for the overload of the damn system. Well, you sure as hell bring black folks in there and don't worry about overloading the system.
Yeah,
maybe
you got that
them.
Right.
Look.
You know, they weren't supposed to go to jail in the first place. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Only the jails are for us. Mm-hmm. Ain't for them.
No. Look, you know, with all due respect to our former president, there always has been, and there always will be, two Americas. There's a black America, and then there's a white America.
This is true.
You know, we can try to be Pollyanna and wax poetic about it, but the one constant during all of this is that we, as black men and black women, are still being killed. And again, I don't want to throw a complete wet blanket over the Floyd verdict. I think again, it's got to be. This is going to be a terrible sports analogy, but you know,
true.
Enjoy the win for an hour, and then
and get back to work.
To paraphrase Bill Belichick, we're getting ready for Cincinnati. We got to get ready for.
That's right.
We got to get ready for Minnesota again. We got to get ready for.
That's
Virginia.
Why.
We got to get ready for
that's
Philly.
Exactly why. That's
Carolina.
Tony, that's exactly why I brought up the Dante Wright situation, because just as this prosecution was efficient in making their case so it was incontrovertibly clear that the defense couldn't weasel their way or spin their way out of it, they have to do the same thing with this Trick Griffin. That was murder. I don't give a fuck how they want to call it, but it ain't manslaughter. You took out your gun. And if the whole thing about size of the hip or wherever it is, they'll make the argument whether she's left-handed or right-handed. She took out her Glock. She said taser.
Talk about
with
hey,
the
taser,
purpose.
Taser. And they're
going to
say, oh, forget I shot her.
Cheryl, in my humble,
this was
premeditated.
That's going to be her defense.
That's exactly. I did it again. This ain't no Britney Spears shit. Bitch, you murdered that guy. And your trainer, so your trainer who's telling you that, well, I didn't know what I was doing, stop.
No. But see, again, they like Gary had said, you know, early in the week, we got a cookie thrown to us. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if we're gonna get another cookie, let alone milk and
okay. No, there'll be crumbs from here on in. I'll let you know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have to remain vigilant. That's all I if anything you have to be more focused now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey T, those
I was truly
cops,
fearful.
You think they'll have them. Saying they're gonna cut a deal? Or you think they're going to go to trial? Those other two in Minnesota.
No. She's busted. She's busted because of the way it went about.
I'm talking about going back to George Floyd case. Those two cops that sit around and watch it happen. What's going to happen with that?
Oh, they're
going to
fry.
Gonna deal now.
They all, they can't wiggle out of this shit. I mean, they're with the guy. You know, anybody who could have done anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just a matter of how much time they decide that they'll do. Because it's not about them being cops. They weren't cops when they did what they did.
Mm-hmm. And let's be honest. Even with the whole, see, I said this other night on the show. I think Chauvin's going to take the cowardly way out and kill himself. I really do.
I believe so, too.
I think so, too. I think he's going to hang himself.
Yeah. And then he's gonna be
they're gonna make him
out to be the martyr. They're gonna make him out to be the victim.
Of course they will.
Even though this room, which will be probably 12,
it's not gonna be maximum.
Definitely
not. I still think he's gonna kill himself. Yeah. It doesn't matter if he hang with the white supremacists. They're still going to violate him because that's what they do.
Yeah.
They act like animals. They talk about us. They're animals, too.
See, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. The reason why I think he's going to kill himself is because, see, now he was fired, but he got his pension, did he not?
Yes, he did.
So he'll kill himself. And he'll basically make sure that his family is taken care of for the rest of their lives.
Of course.
The wife of Joe Man is the sister of the other cop.
Right. She's related to one of the other cops.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that Gary, there is not really, other than gender, any real difference between Chauvin and Griffin.
They both
did what they did. With malice aforethought. And I'm sorry. I know people can be colorblind. I've seen situations where people can mistake colors. It's kind of hard to mistake the black face of a Glock 17 with the neon or colored face.
If you're colorblind, you understand.
That's what they're going to say. They're going to say she was colorblind.
No, but that's an excuse because black and light are seen by colorblind people. We all know, look, they're gonna come up. There's gonna be some sort of elaborate whatever they're gonna try to come up with in regard to defense. Because see, the thing with Chauvin, like we said, the most important, you know. God bless that 17-year-old girl.
Because if not, he gets off. I was fearful. I was truly fearful for that young lady's safety because of how clear the video was of everything, right down to the smirk on his face as George Floyd was breathing his last breaths. That motherfucker knew exactly what he was doing. And as soon as that bitch put in her resignation. Oh, I feel I must resign under the circumstances. You murdered a black man, you motherfucking cunt. You know you deserve to fry. And the fact that she trained people, all that washes away. They're going to hope that they'll just let it go a few months and people will forget. I know Dante Wright's family won't forget.
They're not going to forget.
All the more reason
to
see
again. If you think it's just going to go away, it's not.
No, it can't. Yeah. It can't.
You got it on videotape, clear as day. How she shot him, and then she said, "Oh shit, I shot him."
Yeah, Like, oops, I did it again. Fuck you. No, she knew exactly what she was doing. She can't say she had a blonde moment if she's been training people for years. What she was doing was a training moment. She was training somebody how to kill a black person and get the fuck away with it. She thought she could walk away with her pension, and that would be all right.
I have a serious question about this. This was all this stuff all over the country. That night in California.
That would make more sense.
That night in California, a 17-year-old 17-year-old walking down the street, he has autism.
Mm-hmm.
A murder calls the police because he thinks he's lost. The police come up on him. The officer throws him to the ground.
Yeah.
And punches him in the face.
Yeah.
Before a sergeant comes up. And that sergeant says, no, no, he can't do that because he's autism.
Yeah, it was too obvious. He did the same thing to that female. Socked her in the jaw, and other cops had to pull him off. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? What a real fucking man you are. But I digress.
All we know,
Gary.
I said this a thousand times.
Mm-hmm.
Until you excommunicate all the officers who are white supremacists, Proud Boys, neo-Nazis, and out of the police department.
You can't do it. They can't do it, Gary.
We'll be down. If that's the case, then the only guy left will be Barney Fife.
Well, fuck yeah. No, seriously.
And Gary,
Andy Griffin
is too entrenched for himself.
Mm-hmm. It's too entrenched.
Hey, but
even Otis,
real quick, guys,
why do you think?
Y'all hear what happened in Maryland? They just recently had the resignation in Prince George County of the commissioner, the police chief, and three or four people because of the unfair racist practice of them doing promotion. And that's in the state of Maryland. Also, Maryland just passed that bill where now they're going to let cops can't have the immunity anymore. So Maryland,
these murders, Reggie, are turning into officer retirement plans. They kill somebody and then they resign. There's a situation just recently where three officers resigned and some other sheriffs also resigned after the death of somebody. They know what the fuck is going on. You know, we can't pretend that they don't know or this was just some error or lack of training or anything like that. No. This has been going on too long for anybody to say that they don't have a fucking clue. And the callousness of people in allowing these things to perpetuate, even if I was a diehard Packer fan, I would want to put my foot so far Brett Favre's ass that he'd be spitting out shoe polish. They can't face sports and politics. The mix has always been there. Right down to who plays quarterback, regardless of whether one is better than the other or what color they happen to be. Politics have always been there.
Make no mistake about that shit. Jack Johnson, Jesse Owens, Jackie Robinson,
yep.
Jim Brown, Ali.
That's right.
In fact, I'm used to it with the old white folks, but if I hear a black person try to say, you know, keep politics out of sports, that's when I'll you know, take a drive to their home, personally slap them and their mama, because
you better slap Jason Whitlock. Whitlock is at it again.
Well, look.
Ham hock.
There's a special place in hell. This way. I hope I live long enough to see his O.J. moment. I really do.
You got that right.
I live long enough to see his, because it's because there's not going to be enough bacon fat to fry his ass as far as I'm concerned when this is all when he has his day.
Fry his ass in hog fat.
He's always
had one moment, but he wouldn't acknowledge it when they wouldn't let his ass in that nightclub in Kansas City at that moment, that time.
But it's because he's always strategically put there to get a reaction and whatever. I mean, again, it's predictable. And he's going to see what will happen is when he has his day of reckoning, he's going to say, I was unaware. No. I will, matter of fact, slap him again for saying he was unaware.
There you go. With baby
he was, he's exactly, you know, when he went after the Rutgers women, when he went after Serena, when he goes after LeBron. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Exactly.
He knows exactly where his stand is. He knows exactly where his designation is. He is not going to try to, you know, he is not going to use the Chicken George excuse of I was unaware. No.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
And let's be fair. Let's be fair. He's not the only one. There's a whole group of them that they pull out after everything, like before, during, and after all of this. It's like clockwork. You know, and some of them are male, some of them are female. You know, the only difference between him and Candace Owens is that Candace Owens got a bigger dick than him.
Oh, how about Candace, that
Is Cheryl still on the line?
No. I just, you know, it needs to be said, man. It needs to be said.
She's still here.
I mean, Cheryl,
you still there, Cheryl?
I thought
Cheryl's gone.
No, she's under the hair dryer.
Thank God she didn't hear that last one.
Cheryl probably tell you that Candace Owens has a bigger dick too. No, honestly.
I'm so jealous of you guys. Y'all having too much fun. I'm so jealous.
Breaking news.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Randall. How about
get used to the Knicks winning like this?
Come on, Knicks.
You know what? I'm not saying a word.
Come on, T.
Put it this way. I will concede this, and I didn't think I would say it.
What's today's day?
No. The fourth seed is possible. The fourth seed is very possible.
Hey, they're looking good.
And see, my place, put it this way. As long as they're not playing in the play-in games, I'm good.
They should have hired Thibodeau a long time ago, and the team would have been a lot better.
Hold up. We got to give Julius Randle credit.
There are not many athletes
who can handle the New York pressure and deliver in pressure moments and give people belief that, all right, we can do this. We got this guy. We're going to be all right.
I go back to what I said going into the season. It's not the players that have the pressure. They all have championship caliber. It's going to come down to the coach. Now, I give Steve Nash his due, but can he, you know, is he going to be able to right the ship? Now, quite frankly, as the unfortunate retirement of LaMarcus Aldridge, which has been so underplayed,
that's huge.
He was a good player.
He was a difference maker. Now, they're still a very good team. No doubt about that. And by all rights, they're probably going to be the number one team. I mean, them and Philly are going to go back and forth, but I truly think that I think the Nets will prevail, what have you. But, again, the pressure is going to be on Nash. The pressure, to me, is not on KD or Kyrie or the Beard. These guys have championship pedigrees. Steve Nash, God bless him, he does not. Being a two-time MVP, but never getting to the finals as a player, and you're still a neophyte as a coach. Put it this way, if he wins it all this year, I tip my hat to him and all that. But right now, to me, that's the weakest link for them right now. And they can say, look, they can say all they want about how quirky Kyrie is and if KD is still all the way healthy and what have you, but at the end of the day, and see, it's funny, no one will come out and say it. In regard, now, be honest, if he was a Doc Rivers or a Gentry or somebody that has the credentials, they would still be like, well, Doc's never really done it. I mean, Doc has won and been to the finals and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's the thing. Granted, Thibodeau is probably the leading candidate for Coach of the Year, but please do not sleep on Nate McMillan. Please do not sleep on what Monty Williams is doing in Phoenix as well. There's a lot of, and look, I'm biased. I think Thibodeau should probably get it, and he probably will. But please don't make it out like that it's just him and him alone. There's a lot of.
Oh, you're right. You're right, Chief. You're right. It's the sports responsibility to carry through on that and make the case for them. Gary's got to run for the Cove. So give us a preview of what's happening at the top of the hour, G.
Well, there are only 61 black players in Major League Baseball.
61?
Is that with an asterisk? Jesus.
No. That's probably who on roster's opening day. Wow, it's even smaller than that.
Three teams.
Without
any. Zero players.
The sad thing is it's probably going to get worse, man. Wow, I thought it was at least 80. I didn't realize it was that low.
I thought it was 80, 84, and 61.
Wow. It's
Gary.
That's
are you going to discuss?
That's bad. That's really bad.
Gary, are you going to discuss Gary Sheffield as well and his comments about not watching baseball?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not watching baseball either. You guys are Oakland A's. Oakland A's are 11 game winning streak. Who cares?
Wow.
Cares?
That's deep.
It's tough because I always make the joke about me and six other guys and only six back black baseball fans in America
for real. Tony, to pick up on your point, I mean, if there was ever any doubt as to how important the minor system is, you can only look at the Yankees of a couple of years ago when they lost pretty much almost every starter in their roster. And everyone, I mean, everyone they brought up was, if they came up raking.
Yeah.
They won over
100
fucking games with them through their minor league system.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that ever in sports.
Look. The thing is, and look, I don't want to ramble on too long, but
no, please.
I'm the guy. Now that there's major league extra inning. Like last night, I did something that I do like once a week when I don't have to get up the next morning. I basically, I'll watch the Met game, and then afterwards, I'll just go around and just see what's the most attractive game to watch and whatever. And I basically, when the last out of the last game was played, I pretty much went to bed after that. And when I've had the baseball package and what have you, and I didn't have to get up and there's an old Jeff Redd song called Love Don't Love Me. And that's how I feel about baseball. Baseball, I love baseball, but baseball definitely doesn't love me back. Now, here's the thing. On smaller scales, like what the brothers are doing, like what our buddies at Black College Nines are doing, putting together the Black College World Series within the next couple of weeks. There's all sorts of grassroots stuff. Like I was riding around my neighborhood today, and our local Little League, they're already out there getting ready for the season. And I always go by there just to make that. Now, last year they didn't play, of course, because of the pandemic. But this year, it looks like they're out there, and I see the kids out there getting ready, you know, and what have you. And the thing is, the numbers are going to probably get worse, and it because there's going to have to be sort of a breaking point. Although I would think. See, like, I was, you know, when Gary said 61, I really took me aback because I really thought there was at least 80. But the fact that even that big of a drop-off just from a year ago, that, you know, it gets harder because, see, like I said, I am a Mets fan, but I watch the White Sox to see Timmy Anderson. You know, I'll watch certain teams. To see, you know, hell, I'll even watch the Bronx to see Hicks strike out every other night, you know?
Yeah.
But thing now, and again about it is there are a lot of teams, and I guess Oakland is one of them, where there are literally no black players at all.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is with some teams, they literally just have sort of a token guy or what have you. Now,
exactly.
You know, full disclosure, you know, the Mets have they have Dominique Smith, and I guess Jonathan Villar. There was a kid in the farm system that they brought up last year. But see, last year they brought up everybody because of the pandemic and what have you. And you know, it's funny the night. That they, you know, the night when they first talked about they were the retiring Jackie's number, you know, in perpetuity for all the teams. That very night, the Dodgers did not have a black player on their roster. It's ironic because the next day they brought up Mike Sharperson. The next day, literally, it was almost like they were ashamed that they were part of the whole thing. And ironically, Sharperson wound up being their lone All Star that year, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Serious
action.
I think the first way. I do think the numbers are going to get worse before they get better, but it's going to be a long process. I hope it does. Speed up a little, but I have to be honest with you. I'm not very optimistic, at least for the next 5 to 10 years. I would hope that things would change. Actually, there are more kids playing ball. You know, I think that there are more kids playing ball, but again, like I said, they're kids. So I'll use the Little League kids. The Walter Pop Smith League. They've been around for over 50 years. One of the oldest. They're one of the oldest in the East Coast. I know there's a league up in Reggie's Way that goes back almost 60, 70 years, even like just 1900. But how many of those kids are going to wind up playing baseball down the road? Because some of them look. Be honest, some of them are going to play hoops, some of them are going to play football, and of the ones that do want to make baseball a career, how many of them are going to stick out? I've always used a buddy of mine that I played ball with briefly in high school. He was clearly our pitcher, Frank DeSacco. He wound up pitching for Quinnipiac University here. Great pitcher. So he wound up getting drafted by the Reds, and he did 4 years in the minors, and he retired, and he basically said, couldn't do it anymore. The grind, I just couldn't do the grind. And he retired, I think he was either right at 30 or just less than 30. But he just said, you know, I think the highest he got up to, I think he said he got up to like AA.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't do it anymore. And see, now, that's a white guy saying that. I could imagine.
That's right.
What does
it say? You know what it would be like for the brothers, yes. Especially the Latin brothers. But think about the story that should have, I mean, we've seen that Moneyball bullshit be blown up into a movie and all this. But this was beyond Moneyball what the Yankees did. This was probably the greatest treasure trove of talent that had ever been utilized in a season. And everybody in their minor leagues, from all their affiliates, their talent people, that by itself should be something worthy of sports movie, because that was legit. The Moneyball stuff was getting tired because they were doing it with smoke and mirrors. This was, if it's one ball, one player here, two players, that's one thing. The Yankees brought up literally a lineup and raked their ass to 100 wins. Nobody's ever done that before.
Now, see, the cynic will say, well, the Yankees had the money to replenish their minor leagues. But see, I would always say, look, I'm going to do something that is just fundamentally out of my realm. I'm going to defend those assholes, because the thing is, the one thing that you have control over in baseball is your minor league system. You have, you know, it's not like back in the day. You control that. Now, quite frankly, back in the days when the boss was still alive, look, you can make an all-star team of ex-Yankee farmhands that went on to, you know, Fred McGriff, Tomaso Garcia. There's a bunch of guys that have gone on, you know, and that was during that whole free team. I get it where people want to get on the Yankees for, quote-unquote, buying a pennant and what have you. I get it. You know, look, but see, and Mike, you got to go back to when the late years of Steinbrenner, the Tory era.
Right.
But see,
mm-hmm.
when they broke through in 96, Bob Watson was the GM. Now, the best thing that happened to the Yankees was when Steinbrenner got suspended, when he basically tried
the Winfield thing. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what wound up happening was Bob Watson and Stick Michael basically said, okay, farm system, so we can be the Yankees again. And that's where you got the core four from, the Derek Jeters, the Pettits, the Bernie Williamses, the Posadas. Those were homegrown Yankees.
All homegrown. That's right.
And that's why they were able to have – now, they went out and got a David Wells. They would go out and get a Roger Clemens. They would go out and get a Paul O'Neill. But the core four was guys from within. And in many ways, it was different from the old day Yankees, because even those Yankees back in the day would get a Johnny Mize. They would go get a Enos Slaughter. And basically, they used the Kansas City damn A's as their farm system.
As their farm system. They did.
Yeah.
They should.
You got Roger Maris. They got Roger freaking Maris from there, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
You know? So,
that's right.
In many ways, when they had the second renaissance, it was different because while they were still dipping and dabbing into the free agency, and let's be honest, they got A-Rod just to stick it up the Red Sox's ass, you know, when he refused or whatever.
And he helped them win at least one World Series.
And he helped them win a World Series. So in the long run, and whether the Red Sox want to admit it as well, it helped them because they finally broke the motherfucking curse after all this. Although to me, Red Sox fans are worse now that they've won a few championships, because now, you know, they're just as arrogant, if not worse, than those assholes from the Bronx.
Exactly. Well, look, no matter how we see this, the Yankees were essentially hated on because they spent their money better than other franchises. I mean, Baltimore and Peter Angelos had just as much money, and they wasted gobs of it on inferior talent or situations that just didn't work out.
There was a Cowboy, Gene Autry in there too, because it's only when he's, you know, sort of pulled back is when they finally became, you know, a World Series champion, because the majority of that team, again, homegrown guys. You know,
I saw most of those guys. I saw them in Canada with the Vancouver Canadians. You know, Jim Edmonds, Garrett Anderson.
Yeah.
I saw those guys.
Percival, Erstad, all those guys. Those were homegrown guys. See, look, is there still a disparity? Yes. But see, here's the thing. If you remember the ending of Moneyball, where the Red Sox basically offer Billy Beane, you know, an insane amount of money to be the GM, and he turns it down. He stays with Oakland, I guess. You know, he's still with Oakland. Now, the counter thing was they went out and hired Theo Epstein, and Theo was a guy that lived and died by that embraced the principles of Moneyball. See, here's the thing. The Red Sox used those same principles, but they also went out and spent money. Now, again, you could always make an argument with the Red Sox. They could spend a couple bucks. But see, here's the thing. A few years back, and we've seen the A's do this, the A's can spend some money if they really wanted to. But see,
it's true.
It's easier to play the victim than it is to whatever. Because, see, Kansas City, when they had their run, it was homegrown, they also went out and got a James Shields. They also
went out
and got certain guys. See, the thing is, Moneyball, you still can't just do Moneyball, just straight Moneyball. You still have to go out and get quality players. And, yes, you can still build the minor league system, because if you're looking at the teams, look at the Dodgers now. The funny thing is, the Dodgers are the last 4 years the Dodgers have been the guys that have had the biggest payroll. They've even outspent the Yankees, which was something that no one ever thought would happen. Now, a lot of it had to do with the sale of the team, and a lot of it also had to with the TV money, and you saw that with the Angels as well, and you see it with all the teams, because that TV money is there now. That money with MLB, with MLB TV and Fox and ESPN, they're making, they're still making money. See, they still want us to forget about the drought for the Pirates from 1992 to early 2000s. See, the Pirates, all 14 of those years where they were the dregs of the league, those sons of bitches made money. Made so much money that they got out of Three Rivers and opened PNC Park, which is still one of the most prettiest stadiums in all of baseball. But see, the thing is, everybody wants to be like, oh, woe are the Pirates. The Pirates were probably raking in more money when they were fucking also-ran, as opposed to now, when they dibbed and dabbed into whatever. It goes back to like when we talked about that Forbes list where all 32 teams in the NFL was on the top 50 list. Yeah, and there was only a couple of years where like Cincinnati, because they just take it way too fucking far, and they were outside of it, but the clearest example was the Rams. When their last year in St. Louis, they were 26th in the NFL in regard to revenue sharing. The first fucking year they were in L.A., they went to number 3. They went from 26th to three.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do, and it has, now we all know it had everything to do with Jeff Fisher's coaching style. But,
oh, yeah.
But it's like, come on, you still have to, look, you still have to spend money. And see, in a Moneyball sort of way, and I know I'm all over the place here.
No, you're all right.
Please wait. They gave Goff his money,
yep.
but they let my man from Georgia, why am I thinking about his name now? The running back from Georgia, Todd.
Gurley.
Todd, thank you. They let Todd Gurley walk. Now,
mm-hmm.
of course, they just had to trade Goff for several bags of cream of wheat and Matthew Stafford to say. So basically, to me, it said, "Damn, we fucked up twice."
Mm-hmm.
And they're praying to their pagan god that Stafford can, you know, lead them to the promised land. Well, if you equate 8-8 to the promised land, then congratulations, you got your guy.
You got that right. Oh my God. Well, I say
all that to basically say, Moneyball in and of itself, baseball cannot live with just Moneyball alone. You still got to go out, and you still got to go out and do the other thing.
And it really is still about making the proper investments, for lack of a better word, because you can spend the money, but if it ain't going to get you nowhere, I mean, still ain't shit. And when he comes to the Rams, he still ain't going to be shit. But you think about a move like what Kansas City just did, where they made a trade with Baltimore to get Baby Zeus, Orlando Brown Jr., to protect Patrick Mahomes. That's what you're supposed to do. That's gangster. And see,
here's the thing. Remember all the bullshit we heard when Patrick got his money? Oh,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough for them to bring in guys. It's going to be for them to whatever. You know.
They know where their bread is buttered. Patrick Mahomes spent the last quarter of the season limping around. He was one hit away from being actually taken out altogether, and he held up. They know they have to protect him. They lost both their tackles, for Christ's sakes.
And they still got to the freaking Super Bowl.
And still got to the Super Bowl. Thank you. That's how good this young man is. So you get a big road grader like Orlando Brown to take care of business for you. He serves a dual purpose, because this is not a Dan Marino situation where somebody like Richmond Webb loses a chance at a Hall of Fame career because he never got the drive block because he's so busy pass blocking protecting Marino's ass. They want Baby Zeus, the road grade, and they want him to pass protect.
But see, Mike, here's the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lamar's going to be running for his fucking life now.
Yes, he is.
Unless they come up with a couple of studs in the draft, now they got mm-hmm. all sorts of picks for him, and
right.
you know I hope for Lamar's sake, because see Lamar's gonna be due for a payday too.
That's
but
right.
The whole thing
mm-hmm.
is he gonna live to survive it more than anything else, because that they just basically gave them his blindside guy.
That's exactly right.
Now,
but
unless they know something we don't, I'm a little like, what the hell is this?
I can't recall the brother's name, but before he got hurt, he was the best lineman that Baltimore had.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah,
I think it's like Southfield or something like that. I forget the name.
Yes, he got hurt. So all of a sudden, you know, that was out of the mix. So they actually did Baltimore a favor. They took Baby Zeus, put him on the line now to protect Mahomes' blind side. And remember, we're talking about smaller markets here. Kansas City, for all it is still Kansas City. You know, without Mahomes, they're not getting any TV games. You know, they're not
But you know what, Mike? To be fair, small market NFL is a lot different than small market Even though to whatever Kansas City, the Royals, they have their own TV contract with
true.
I'm gonna say, I'm sorry, I was gonna say Fox, but it's Bally's now for whatever. I'm still look. Trying to figure that out, but yeah, you know, because the NFL has fiefdoms, basically.
Yes.
We get Kansas City, hey, but you're right. It is still small market, but they're still able to see. Here's the thing: do the same thing.
They could.
Indy could do the same thing, but see, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Indy basically has put their future in the hands of your favorite quarterback, Mr.
Yeah.
Wentz.
Who's still in
and
shit.
You didn't say it with gusto, son.
Yeah.
Roll off your tongue.
Reggie, he's got a whole season to say that because give him a chance to warm it up because trust me, that won't be the last time.
A-A-A-T. Let him goggle, get his mouth right first before he gets to say it.
It is all about making the right investment. And here, two small market teams in comparison to others that help each other out. Now, we know as long as Mahomes is upright and as long as General Jackson can run, Baltimore is going to be competitive. That's what you want. You want to make sure that when people are spending their hard-earned money to crawl up in there and see the Ravens play, that they feel that they are going to win. The Chiefs already know. They actually call their home Chiefs Kingdom. They expect to win. Now, that's good because you got two small markets there. If Patrick Mahomes played quarterback for the L.A. Rams, he'd be in a whole different strata here, you know? And we know this because they would have totally different expectations. With Matthew Stafford coming to L.A., the Rams know. The boy ain't shit. But it doesn't matter because all they want him to do is be the resident white boy playing Chip Hilton on Saturday afternoon.
I just want to start crying. They just rolled off your tongue so well. I just want to start crying.
So, before the Lions Club,
you're getting it. I'm sorry. No, it's funny, you know, because see, now, very quietly, Baltimore has, you know, got themselves a bunch of draft picks. I believe the Niners have it as well while they try to get rid of porn star slash quarterback Garoppolo on somebody.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's funny, you know, remember we were talking with Patrick a couple of weeks ago about how the Jets are stockpiling. And again, I still have my year's supply of I Can't Believe It's Butter when they fuck up. Because I say all that because it goes back to what Mike said. You can be a big market, but if you don't know what the hell you're doing, it doesn't matter. See, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I get the disparity with the markets, whatever, but at the end of the day, it's what you do or what you don't do.
That's right.
See,
look at the New York Giants. Giants in the damn Haymarket. Look how they
But see, the Giants have had their ups and downs as well. Now, truth be told, Jerry Reese earned those Super Bowl rings. But once they had a couple mediocre years, they couldn't wait to get rid of him. And see, they bring in this guy, Edelman. And what has Edelman done?
Bring in
not
players
a fucking
from
thing.
The Carolina Panthers.
Not a fucking thing.
I will give him Saquon Barkley. I'll give him that. But the jury is still out on Mr. Jones, in regards to, you know, whether he's, you know, whatever. But see, again, he's fits the bill. Hell, he can be the next Jerry Goldstein as far as we know. But as long as he fits the bill, Giants fans will be happy.
Can y'all please explain to me how the Arizona Cardinal coach who had losing record in college, his third year he has a losing record again. The only thing he's known for is having a boss crib on the draft day out in Arizona where a fireplace is out in Arizona where it's like 100 degrees. I don't understand. How in the answer did this guy get this plum position? And I can think of plethora of young men that don't get a shot at the head coach job. I love for, white privilege.
Oh, sure. And you know what? Guys, I got to reprimand us as a group. We actually have buried arguably the biggest story of the week in the NFL.
What's that?
Mike Tomlin got a 3-year extension for the
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
It probably eased that down. I didn't hear that. Wow.
Well, here's the thing. Now, Mike Tomlin has been fired, I believe, 876 times.
I lost count.
In the
I lost count.
Territory. Yeah.
Hey, T, is that before the racist ass fire chief called him a nigga, or is that after?
It's included in the package because, those 871 firings have just come right outside of Heinz Field. Now nationally, they know what he's all about. Now, think about it. They started off, what was it, 11-0, 10-0?
That's right. They were 11-0.
And, you know, they died an uglier death than Nino Brown. At the end of the thing. Now,
yep.
Soul is down for hell. Let me do my icy, put on my glass, and the white boy is smiling.
But the thing is, that's another instance where the Rooneys could have said, Mike, we're going a new direction. Mike,
there he goes, going to slice.
Instead, pushing him to the side, Mike, we know what you are. We know where you've been. Here's 3 more years to prove yourself.
Yeah, and by the way, Mike, fuck Terry Bradshaw.
Bradshaw having a spasm now.
Now, it's a bit of a...
And Bill Cowher, too. Bill Cowher, too. Put his ass in there, too.
To me, it's a little bit of a gamble because, see, let's face it, he's going to have to basically ride out Big Ben's pregnancy. I mean, his career. I'm sorry. I get it mixed up.
That baby ain't dropped yet, Chief. What's the hold up? That baby didn't drop
by then. You know what?
On the list 6 years.
You know what? Rick James was wrong. Pregnancy is a hell of a drug. That's all I'll say.
You got that shit right.
Put your hands between the legs and pull that bitch out, man.
Here's the thing. They're going to allow him to ride out with their quote-unquote, I don't want to say legendary, but he's been there so fucking long that, he should have got rid of Big Asher.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I think the fact that they're allowing him to sort of ride this out and possibly be there when the new kid comes in, again, look, I am no Steeler fan. I am no Steeler apologist. I still think Mike Renfro was in the fucking end zone, but that's just me.
He was.
But the fact that they gave him 3 more seasons. It's gone beyond, whatever with the Steelers and their continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Three coaches in basically 2/4 of a century.
Yeah,
three
exactly.
coaches in a quarter of a century. So,
they represent the corporate model for successful continuity in a company of any sort. You hire good people, you pay them well, and you reward them as they consistently perform and put the positive results out for your company. That's exactly
yes,
what Mike Tomlin did. Mike Tomlin was employee of the month for all the years he was there, and he's a baby. By coaching standards, he's barely 50. Mike Tomlin, in another decade,
Mike, we've still never seen the two of them in the same room. So
this is true.
All my ex better take it as a compliment for Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin, in another decade, can he get his ass in straight if he just does his normal thing for his current pace right now? Mike Tomlin's going to win as many games as Chuck Knoll, and he's going to eventually
pass
him.
But I think the elephant in the room is him getting Haskins to get to his potential. Haskins has potential, but he's got to go ahead and understand. If you can't play under Mike Tomlin, you can't play under nobody.
Imagine what somebody like Eric Bieniemy must be thinking. You're like, damn, I hope somebody looks at me like that and trusts me like that. Because Mike Tomlin has done whatever the fuck he's wanted because he earned the right to do whatever the fuck he's wanted. He's never had a losing season, ever.
And see, the funny thing is, the white folks that want to get rid of him, they'll never, he can win another two more Super Bowls. They're never going to appreciate him because them damn Yinzers down there still, they're still living in the past. They still want.
That's right.
They would rather have Cowher going out in the first round every year than what Tomlin has done.
That's right. That's the truth. Yeah. So it's even more significant that they paid him because they know what their fan base is like. They know what the people that live around him are like.
It was so deliberate that story got no play.
Yep.
No play whatsoever. I mean, think of all the football stories that we've heard about all week. The Tomlin one literally was,
you're right, because I didn't see it either for a while.
No, you're right.
Why should you be happy with a successful franchise that obviously seems to know how to run their shit as opposed to fly-by-night organizations that throw gobs of money at mediocre talent and then try to tell you it's filet mignon when they serve that shit up? Hell no.
It's not the Dallas Cowboys. Well, I'm sorry. I should talk about something.
Guys, 120, 103, make it 9.
With the Knicks.
Wow.
With the Knicks.
And they got to go to the NBA. They still have a West Coast trip coming up, too. So
yes, they do.
Go New York. I'm not speaking to the press.
Come on, Tom Thibodeau. You know they should have hired you the first time.
I'm not speaking to the press.
Tony, let me ask you this.
I don't want to get fined. I'm not speaking.
Is Brother Man earning that number 30? Is Brother Randall earning the number 30 on his New York Knicks jersey?
I need to write him a written apology to anybody. Do you have like a blue or orange crayon that I can write this letter to Mr. Randall so I can apologize to him?
Hey, you can level 45 now. That's his Monica. But gee, my thing is, everybody wanted Kevin Durant. Durant hadn't even played a fourth of the season, and this is a short season. Every time he's blowing the kid, he's hurt. And look what Randall's doing. Randall got a mean streak. He wants to win. That's what I like about him.
Yes, he does.
Here's the thing. Here's the one thing. And I've been praying to my Walt Frazier Pumas for the last 15 years.
Is that without the sideburns?
put it this way. I made it a point to make sure that I got him in team colors. I wasn't going to just settle for just white or what have you.
There you go.
But here's the thing. Here's
okay,
the thing.
Now.
For so many years, it was get somebody in the, you know, because, see, the whole thing was you can't rebuild in New York. Well, apparently you haven't seen the last 20 fucking years because that's all
Hello.
They've been doing. Is rebuilding and restarting and restarting and what have you. Whether it was
True.
Bill, whether it was Isaiah, whether it was Donnie Walsh or
mm-hmm.
or what have you. Now, the guys here with World Wide West and everybody else, look, I have said, you know, the thing that I was fearful of in regards to this was people don't realize how the events over the last 4 or 5 years with Bill, you know, showing his ass and Dolan going after Oakley. Players in the league talk. They see that shit. That's the
there
main
you go.
Look. The main
exactly.
reason why Kyrie and the Beard and KD are in Brooklyn is because that was the backlash of all of that stuff. The
That's
one,
right.
If nothing else, this team may finally be able to be like, y'all need to come down and see what we're doing at the Garden, man. And
come
if
on.
They can do that, and if they can do that, the world is their oyster. Because look, the league can thrive without a good team in New York. Lord knows they've been doing it the last freaking years.
Golden
so,
State proved that. Yeah.
Exact. Golden State, Chicago, all the teams that have been.
Yep.
Look, Oklahoma. Look at all the successful teams. The Knicks have been awful. But here's the thing. For the first time in a long time, they have a nucleus. They have a nucleus
yeah.
of Randall, Obi,
yeah.
mm-hmm. Barnett,
yeah.
and Quigley. Now,
yeah.
I will concede you Rookie of the Year for Quigley if Thibodeau gets Coach of the Year and they go and they get
oh,
past round of the playoffs.
Yeah,
I'll take. Stranger things have happened, but I'm not gonna get mad.
Let me throw this at you too. With the Knicks getting all these positive publicity, how many dollar signs as far as eyeballs does that bring to the NBA?
What's that again?
With the Knicks getting good now. As far as dollar signs, as far as people are taking notice, you know Manhattan is happy about that. Anytime they get positive
they
attention,
profit.
That's what they want.
Well,
everybody profits from it.
Put it this
mm-hmm.
way.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way.
Spike Lee throwing some corn in there now.
Well, Spike, you know, Spike Lee is just another skinny whore, but that's another story. I don't, Spike showed his true colors when he made a movie about Kobe Bryant. So it's like, no.
He wore the jacket during the Oscars. Then when he got his Oscars, a Knicks fan wearing a Lakers jersey, suit. I couldn't believe
it. Well, the only thing worse is if he wore a fucking Celtic jersey, but then he wouldn't be allowed back in Brooklyn. But that's a whole other story. The thing that I love the most is that, like I said, they have a nucleus now. They can build around that. And hopefully,
right.
if they can overcome the stench of the last 4 to 5 years and whatever, because, see, the thing was, the difference here is that when the Russian guy came in and took over the Nets a few years ago, he did it the wrong way. He wanted to be the best team in New York.
Right.
And that's fine. Go right ahead. Now Brooklyn wants to be the best team in the NBA, and that's the difference. But see,
yep.
that's been Knicks' thing for years. Even as bad as Isaiah was, even as bad as Phil was, whatever, their whole thing was, look, it's been 1973 since
yep.
raised the bank. Look, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. As much as you all know I'm a big Mets fan and whatever, the Knicks are my
yes,
heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could just hear one more time, the New York Knicks are the world champions. I'm not going to give all now
oh,
I can die in peace. I'm not going to give all that.
All
I want.
Peace. as a Washington Fats Baltimore Bullets fan, I was with you until you did that.
Well, look, and you know what? I hope you get a chance to see it again too. But see,
oh hell no! Not with this ownership group. Oh hell
Andy,
no!
Look, yeah. Well, but see, that's all.
Hey, the closest I got to you seeing the hockey team win the Stanley Cup. That's the closest.
Put it this way, Mike. I've told you this before. The two most loneliest beings in New York are them two damn championship banners at the Garden. You can literally see them. Put it this way, for the last 20 years, you can literally see them two banners crying when they see
them. Yeah, you see them dipping moths chewing on those motherfuckers for years.
I have
replaced them yet? They need to replace them.
No. Put it this way. I have a picture in my phone of the two banners, and as a matter of fact, I used it as my cover a few years back, you know. But my whole thing was, I just want Mama Banner and Daddy Banner to have a little baby Banner.
In spite of the donut, you might get your wish.
You know,
right
this
now,
is the first
look,
year
right now,
team they
look,
put
look,
together.
I'm just this baby chef. Are they going to finish 500? Yes. Are they going to make the playoffs? Yes. Is the fourth seed possible? Yes.
Yes.
And see, the whole thing about this year, you got to remember, their best rebounder, Robinson, is out. I mean, Nerlens Noel, you know,
that's right.
Next to Julius Randle, Nerlens Noel is playing out of his ass.
Yes, sir.
But he's doing all the dirty. And see, that's the thing I like is that they have their stars, but they have their dirty. They have the guys that do all the dirty work and everything else. I'm not gonna say it's reminiscent.
Not gonna crown him.
No. We can't. Put it this way. All I'm saying is, if they can get the fourth seed and get to the second round or anything, put it this way, win the first series,
win at least one round. Yes.
Win the first round, I'm good. I'm good.
Hey,
anything,
I got to say this. When I heard the August and the Knicks game, man, it brought a tear to my eye. Defense.
You got to remember, so many of us have been living off of freaking memories, man.
Oh, man. That's the
69, 70, 73. Those were my former years. So I grew up. That's how basketball was introduced to me. So.
Yes, sir.
Forgive me if I've been a little overly critical.
I think you have every right to be.
But see, that's a hell of a standard, though, you know? And that was also unique. You know, one of the best 30 for 30s is that whole, you know, when the Garden was deep. And because, you know, I couldn't get through the first hour without crying a little bit because it just, you know, all those memories, because it brought it all back.
I told you.
And see, here's the thing. So much of what the Knicks stand for and what the franchise has always been of history, I appreciate the hell out of Mike Breen, but the fact that little bald-headed criminal, Marv Albert, isn't still doing the team. There's just something.
He got naked pictures of somebody.
Exactly. And naked pictures of himself too, which is unfathomable.
Hey.
That's the whole thing.
I'm still trying to find out what the little midget was for. I ain't figured that one out yet.
I don't want to know. I just don't want to know. But this way, when the Rangers won their Stanley Cup, one of the things that they did on radio, they brought Marv Albert in to call the last 5 minutes of the Stanley Cup Finals with Vancouver.
Oh, God.
Let's put it this way. If there's any way possible first of all, that they can get to the damn finals. That's like, you know, whatever. But if there's any way possible that they could incorporate Marv back into the family, I'd be all for it. Now, see, it's not going to happen because that asshole and shitty drummer, James Dolan, is still there. So,
actually, he's a guitar player.
Guitar, you know, Azusa, yeah. Whatever. He can't. He's a, you know, just another, you know,
he thinks he can play the guitar.
Just another fat ass, overfed musician in New York, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Guys, hold on a second. I got a bulletin from G. What's up, G?
All I can say is go to New York, go to New York, go.
Hey, G, ain't you got a show to do, man?
Hey,
you come in here with five shooting shots, man. All right.
Put it this way. I have seen a lot of Knick fans resurface. Folks that I haven't seen since the Nixon administration that have resurfaced.
Hey,
you know.
You be on the ground too, because James Dolan does.
I'm California.
Yeah.
When the Yankees win, you see their blue cap with the NY, right?
Yeah.
When the Mets win, you see the orange, NY.
All of a sudden,
the last 2 weeks, I'm seeing New York.
Hey, Gary, out in California, you start seeing Kings jerseys again. You watch the Kings hockey jerseys out there.
I know when the Knicks are doing well because even the homeless people start wearing Knicks hats.
That's right. Yep.
That's wrong.
No, I mean, I gotta be real.
That's just
wrong. But funny, you know, now I'm at the, like, you know, the local, like, Stop and Shop, and this guy's like, oh, you on the bandwagon? I said, no, motherfucker, I've been on the bandwagon. Matter of fact, I've been in the bandwagon several times.
Don't hit him, Chief. Don't hit him.
Put it this way. I can tell a diehard as opposed to whatever. Because, see, I'll see somebody. And you know what the funny thing is? We sort of wink and nod. But what happens is time, ain't it? And it's like,
yeah, for real.
It's universal. It's like if you hang out long enough, you'll see them do it. Like I said.
Why did he hire Tuba, though, the first time when he wanted the job? That's what I can't figure out.
My only request that the New York Knicks do not wear those orange damn jerseys.
I knew it. Them orange jerseys.
I'll raise your orange jerseys as opposed to wearing those black jerseys at home.
Oh.
That's one of my pet peeves in the NBA right now, because you could turn on a damn game and both teams are wearing colored jerseys. And I'm like, who the fuck is the whole
That's right.
I got to look at the fans.
Who the fuck is the home team at home?
I said, what are the fans?
Look, the Knicks have a traditional, iconic jersey.
That's right. New York, all white and blue.
You can't get now.
Yep.
Now they've had variations on it. They put an apple on their ass 1 year.
Hold on. They did what?
They put an apple. They had an apple with an NY on the shorts, and I'm like,
you got
to tell me you have to explain to people what city you live in? You mean to tell me New York on the front of your jersey? I mean, I know some of the people in the Bronx are illiterate.
Got to show them a picture of what the hell it is.
New York on the front of your jersey, and you still have to put a fucking apple on your ass?
Hold it, T. I got to write this down. This great material, T. I got
to
write
further,
this
for further information, just go to appleonmyass.com.
Really?
Oh, I God, mean, my head hurts. Damn,
even
y'all.
The mess. Even the
hey,
mess with
time
that,
out, man.
Even even the mess with that stupid apple after every home run.
Oh,
every
God.
Home run. Okay, I get it. I get it. I get it. Okay?
Oh, God, my head.
Okay, go, guys.
All right,
guys.
Yeah. All right, now.
It is time to go. G at the top of the hour on a great little cold. Fellas, any last thoughts?
My head hurts. I'm jealous of you guys. My head hurts.
Let's put it this way. As a serious note, though, I really do hope that, you know, something, you know, I'm really, matter of fact, Mike, it just implores me to write that article we talked about even more so, because.
Yes, we're going to do that.
That's going to have to be our way. That's going to have to be, I'll get a book as well. But, yeah, but
mm-hmm.
That's going to have to be our way, because. It saddens me. It really does that these numbers keep going the way they are in baseball. And
yes.
And see, look, I'm like Pookie. I'm drawn to it. I can't give up baseball quite yet.
No.
It's part of my mm-hmm. heritage, part of my whatever, you know. I really hope at some point that these numbers get better. I really do,
yes.
But it hurts. It really hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really hurts. As a black baseball fan, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
Well, we will carry this conversation into the Gray Lipper Cove. Thank you, Team Reggie. You got any final thoughts?
Yeah, my head hurts. I'm jealous of you guys. Y'all got me. Yeah, my head hurts. Y'all had too much damn fun. My head hurts.
Mike, he's been playing cards with Bugs Bunny. That's why his head hurts.
There you go.
Arise there,
sir.
Sir, think of
Lawrence
of
Nottingham.
Hey, well, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Sir Loin of Beef. We'll be fine.
There you go.
Great job.
Well,
great job.
We'll leave you with the fact that we started or we finished better than we started.
That doesn't take that start away. I still think about what that evil motherfucker did. I still think about what that evil bitch did. And what comes around does go around. Let me lay a little hex education on my ass before we get out of here.
pain, you make a jump to me.
Oh, yeah.
And she will love you.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Oh, yeah.
And when she got the ready.
Oh, yeah.
Got the train on the track.
Oh, yeah.
You make some power.
Oh, yeah.
And you make some pop.
Oh, yeah.
That's gonna give you.
Oh, yeah.
Spreading your back.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in your mind. I'm the other. With Superman, head to head for life. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, this me. I drank the water from the fiery sea. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.